Hello, my beloved child. I am so glad that you are here today. I have been waiting for you for quite some time now. You didn't realize it, but I have been here since last night. I didn't move from this very spot because I knew that you would be here this morning, so I decided to wait for you. I didn't want to risk missing you. You don't know how much I have been looking forward to this moment. I love you more than you could ever possibly realize. Since the beginning, I have loved you with an everlasting love, one that no human could ever fully understand. But my plan is to share a little more of that love with you this morning. There's nothing that I wouldn't give to show you how much I love you. No cost is too high. My desire is to give you everything, everything that is good, and everything that you need. I came here today to give you life, and to give it abundantly. There's nothing that you lack that I cannot give to you today. My dream is that you and I walk together in power, in victory, and in joy. I desire that because I care for you more than you care for yourself. I have never taken my eyes off you for a single moment or a twinkling of an eye. And now I am excited that you came here this morning so that I can shower you with more. More of whatever it is you need in life. More power, more joy, more peace. More of me in your life. And most of all, I am excited to reveal a new aspect of my relationship with you. Today I am going to bring you one step closer to me and one step closer to the kingdom. There is nothing that gives me more pleasure than to give you the kingdom. My deepest and my strongest desire is that we may be one as I and my Father are one. That is why I am so glad that you came this morning. I have been waiting to spend this time with you. I don't want anything from you. I just want you. I don't want your time. I don't want your money. I don't even want your words. I just want your heart. I want you to be mine, and I want to be yours. That is why I am here this morning, knocking at the door. I am coming to see you.
Okay. Welcome to part 4. In our Yellow Brick Road series. And today, the topic that we're going to discuss is that chair. That's going to be the center of our theme today. You know, if you've been following us, this Yellow Brick Road series, we've been talking about the path that our church here at St. Mark's has laid down for every one of us to find that new aspect in our relationship with God. And we talked about how, you know, for whatever reason it is that God has brought every one of us here together, and we agreed that it is for different reasons, or at least so we thought, and a lot of us don't know why it is that we came here. We just kind of ended up here today, or this year, or this semester, or this summer, whatever it is. And we said that the church has laid down for us a path, a yellow brick road, so to speak, and if we follow that path, we'll be able to discover why it is we're here. We talked about unity, we talked about prayer, and last week we talked about the Bible. And this week we're going to talk about the next step, and the next step is right there. But unfortunately for many of us, the chair is empty. We're going to talk about what we should be doing in that chair today. Last week we talked about the Bible, okay? And if you were here last week, we talked about our need for the Word of God in our life, and we saw how the Word of God is living, it's not dead, and the goal is that we have a relationship with that Word of God. And we said that the same Word of God, the Logos that was from the beginning of all ages, the same Logos that we have on the altar is the same Word of God that we have in paper and pen and ink, and God gave it to us so that we can have a deeper relationship with Him. And we said that the Word of God is also like a sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And in order to hold the sword firmly, you have to use more than just one finger. And we talked about last week the different ways that we get into the Word of God as different fingers. Hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, applying the Word of God. And then our final finger is what we're going to talk about today, and I told you last week, okay, which is going to be is meditating on the Word of God. Somehow I don't have control. Yeah, there we go. We're going to talk about today is meditating on the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We know that we need the word of God, and this verse is telling us that the same way a body needs food to grow and to live, a spirit needs spiritual food to grow and to live, and that spiritual food for us is found inside the Bible, inside the word of God. Your body can't live without food. Your spirit can't live without the word of God. Easy. That's just simple. Okay? So what we said is we want to go deeper in that relationship with the word of God. We talked about five methods last week, and today we're going to talk about the sixth one, which is meditating on the word of God, which is also called quiet time. For those of you who were here in 2004 when we discussed this as the church theme, this is one of those instrumental steps in the building blocks on this yellow brick road. This is like one of the big ones that is essential for who it is that we are and for you discovering the next step in your relationship with God. What does it mean to do quiet time? This is a term that a lot of us throw around. Okay, did you do your quiet time this morning? We talk about our quiet time. And the thing with the quiet time is, it has as many different definitions as there are people who are there to define it. For some people, quiet time is in the shower. I did my quiet time. When did you do your quiet time? In the shower. I did my quiet time on the metro. I did my quiet time on the bus. Is that the same as a person who says, I did a 3-hour quiet time this morning? Is that the same person who says, I had my eyes closed in bed and I did quiet time all night long? What's quiet time? The passage I always think of is Luke chapter 10. It's not in your handout, but it's up on the screen. Luke chapter 10 says, verse 38 to 42, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Him as being Jesus, of course. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. What is quiet time? If I had to come up with a definition of what quiet time is, I would simply say it is sitting at Jesus' feet. I know that's a broad definition. I know it's not very specific, but that's intentional. We want to try to figure out today what quiet time is, but I got to start off by telling you, quiet time, I can't really put it in a bottle, okay? I can't make it a formula. I'm going to try to give you tips and give guidance, but I can't, okay? I can't make it 100% like a formula, like A plus B equals C or something like that, because quiet time is the deepening of your relationship with God. That's what quiet time really is. It's where you deepen your relationship with God. And sometimes, okay, you can do all the outside stuff right, and you can have the Bible on the right page and read the right readings and do the right routine and say the right Agbeya prayer and all that kind of stuff. But you may not be getting deeper, okay? So there's an intangible aspect to it that I can't necessarily make it into a formula. But what quiet time is, in general, is sitting at the feet of Christ and going deeper in your relationship with Him. It's not running around with Him. It's not serving Him. It's not telling others about Him. It's simply sitting at His feet and going deeper with Him. There's two obvious components to quiet time. The first one is time, and the second one is quiet. Okay? First, let's talk about time. When you talk about depth, depth requires time in everything. Okay, no matter what the subject is, to go deeper in the subject, it takes more time than just to go shallow. Overnight, you can go home to your house and you have little mushrooms, little weeds, little anything. But you don't just go overnight and all of a sudden there's a big oak tree in your house. If there's a big oak tree in your house, it took time. Depth takes time, and the same thing with our relationship with God. So because the focus of quiet time is depth, then the first aspect we need to understand is it takes time. What I'm saying is, ain't no such thing as depth in 5 minutes. Okay? So if your quiet time is a 5-minute routine that you can spit out and get done in a commercial break, then I question the depth that you're going into right there. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. This is a good verse for quiet time. Be still and know that I am God. What does the word know mean? The word know doesn't mean know your name, okay? The word know, when it's used in the Bible, okay, when it talks about like mature crowd, okay? It talks about like man Adam knew his wife Eve. Didn't mean that he shook hands with her, okay? Knew her means intimacy. So the Bible is saying that the goal for us, and this is a goal for quiet time, is to have intimacy with God. Those who are married know it's nice when I call my wife and just check in for 5 minutes as I'm running between appointments. And it's good that I don't have time here and there, but every now and then I send a text message, say I love you, I miss you, whatever. That's great. But that ain't intimacy. To have intimacy requires time. And that's the first aspect to quiet time. This is, if you want to know the number one reason why people don't get anything out of quiet time, like automatically, like there may be deeper reasons, but I can cover 50% of your problems with quiet time with this. Take more time. Easy. That covers 50% of the problems. Anytime someone comes and says, I don't get anything in my quiet time, first thing I say is, how long is your quiet time? And if I hear less than 7 minutes, I mean, yeah. It's going to be hard for you to get anything out of anyone in 7 minutes. So that's number one. Number two requires quiet. Common sense. You know, there's a story in 1 Kings chapter 19. Story of Elijah. Elijah wanted to hear the voice of God. He needed direction. And Elijah was a prophet who was constantly getting messages from God. And it came a certain point in time, he said, God said, I'm going to meet you, and I'm going to tell you, give you guidance on what you need. Elijah said, great. And Elijah was waiting. Elijah heard an earthquake. God's voice wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was a fire. God's voice wasn't there. And it was a loud rushing wind. And Elijah was looking for God's voice and all those things. None of those had God's voice. Until Elijah shut his mouth and heard a small little whisper. And that was the voice of God. And I like that picture so much. Because I believe that God is always whispering to us. But you know what? Because we got cell phones and we got pagers and we got emails and we got instant messengers and we got TVs and we got iPods and all this stuff. We say, we can't even hear God. Oh, God doesn't speak to me. How do you know God doesn't speak to you? You ever shut up and try to listen? Like that verse that, be still, know that I am God. Be still is a nice way of saying shut up. Because so often in life, we don't shut up enough to hear His voice. God is not like our parents. Our parents, if we don't hear them, they talk louder. Okay? If I don't do what my parents tell me, they tell me in a louder voice. God's not like that. God whispers. Okay? Unless you're in trouble, then He may scream. But if God is giving you guidance, God whispers and God speaks softly. And some of us, we haven't heard because we have too much commotion going on around us. Matthew chapter 6:6. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. You know the most important word in that verse right there? Second line, second word. When. When you have shut your door, then you pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Most of us don't do that. We just jump right into prayer. We say, okay, now I need to pray in Father and Holy Spirit, and this and that. And hopefully by the end of the prayer, I've shut my door. Hopefully by the end of the prayer, when He says shut your door right here, He's not talking about just your literal door. He's talking about the door to your mind, the door to your heart, the door to your, like, your senses. Saying, shut the door to all that worldly stuff. Stop thinking about that to-do list. Stop thinking about the emails that are piling up. Shut the door to that stuff and leave that stuff on the outside. A lot of times, I show up to my quiet time, and I'm bringing baggage, and I'm bringing luggage, and I'm bringing problems. And He's saying, leave that stuff on the outside. You know, we take off our shoes to go to the altar, take communion. We should be doing the same thing when we go to our quiet time. Take off the stuff, leave it outside. And don't come in here till you take your shoes off. And don't come in here till the door is shut. That's not what we do. We say, you know what, God, I got 15 minutes. So you know what, I'm going to jump in, and hopefully by the end, all that stuff is out of my mind. Hey, good luck. You get nothing out of your quiet time. Quiet time has to be time. Quiet time has to be quiet. Okay? If we come up with no other definitions, has to be those two things. Because like I said, quiet time is depth. It's not breadth. It's depth. And if I want to deepen the relationship between me and my wife, I got to go to a place where there's no commotion going on. Even Marianne knows me very well. Like, we go into like a Ruby Tuesday or a Red Robin or whatever. And at the beginning, like, you know, I'd be walking in the front, I just sit down wherever I sit. Okay? But now she knows. She finds where the TV is, and then she sits so that I can't see it. Okay? And she even sometimes maneuvers the table around because she knows. As much as I love her, I'm distracted easily, especially like in the ESPN or something like that. I don't know. Whatever's on. Like, sometimes, you know, you're looking and sometimes things just... So you need to shut that stuff. And she knows, in order for us to have depth in our relationship and us to have an intimate conversation with one another, Abu Anthony's not smart enough to distract, to push this stuff out. So she has to... So we need to do the same thing between us and God. Like, I feel like God wants to do the same thing. He wants to, like, sit between us and the TV so that we can't see it sometimes. But sometimes we do, like, this kind of stuff. You won't get anything out of quiet time unless you stop looking at your watch. Learn to relax. Unless you stop seeing who was that call that you just missed. Until you learn how to shut your door, leave stuff on the outside, and take your time, you won't get anything out of quiet time. And that's unfortunately why quiet time has different definitions for different people. And a lot of people, quiet time is simply a formality. I just, you know, I brush my teeth, I comb my hair, I do my 10 minutes of quiet time, I check it off on the list, I go to work. Nothing. Do that all day, all night for the rest of your life. You won't get nothing. Because there's not depth in that kind of stuff. Quiet time is, like you heard the little video thing at the beginning, of God is preparing to give you something. You know how they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right? Spiritually the same way. This is our spiritual breakfast, where God is excited. God has message. God has guidance. Sometimes he has rebuke. But even the rebuke is sweet when it's from his hand. God has stuff. God has power. That power we read about in the gospel today said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, every power of the enemy. Where is it? Where's that power? You know what? If you run in and out of quiet time, you never see that power. To you, that power is just something that other people invent or talk about, or you see in movies, or you see in the saint videos. But it's not real until you learn how to get... until you learn how to have breakfast. A breakfast with God. Quiet time needs to be my number one priority in life. Why? Why is quiet time so important? I'll give you three reasons. Number one, it is the key to becoming like Christ. Every one of us sit here and say, I'm a good person. I want to be like Christ. I want to be in his image and I want to be in his likeness. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. Quiet time is the most important factor in that process. You know why? It's just like you've seen a thing on the TV about a couple that's been married for like 50 years and they start to look like each other, or a man who looks like his dog or something like that. Seen that? When you spend enough time with a person, you become like that person. And you talk like that person, and you think like that person, and you act like that person. If you want to be a rap star, watch MTV all day. If you want to be like Christ, spend time with the Bible. And the more time you spend with him, the more you end up becoming like him. Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? If you want to end up looking like Christ, you must put his words in your head. And you must spend time in his presence looking at him. Second thing, it is the key to being guided by God. Every one of us wants to be guided by God. If only God would tell me. And if only God would answer. And if only God would... easy. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of Him. You may not believe that verse. You may not have experienced that verse, but that doesn't make it not true. And that verse says that knowledge of Him will provide you anything that you need for life and godliness. You have 24/7 access to the unlimited, omnipotent One Himself. 24/7, willing to guide you, willing to lead you, willing to give you anything that pertains to life and to godliness. There's no reason to be misguided or confused. You know what quiet time is? Quiet time is our GPS. Okay? Quiet time is, we show up in the morning, we don't know where we're going. We show up, we get our GPS unit for the day. Imagine that every day you're going someplace different. Okay, because you are in life. God's taking you someplace. Every day, He gives you this GPS unit, and it tells you where to go. Right turn, left turn, this way, that way. Today, forgiveness. Today, focus on love. Today, focus on purity. Today, focus on obedience. Today, focus, like, he gives guidance every single day. And I promise you, that guidance is exactly what you need. Even though you may not think that you need it. Imagine someone who has a GPS and is lost. There's only two possible scenarios that can make that happen. One, the GPS doesn't work. Or two, he ain't using it. I can't think of any other solution. If we have the Bible and we're lost, either the Bible doesn't work, don't think that's the case, or two, we ain't using it. We're not understanding it. We're not spending enough time with it. We should not live in darkness, okay? So hopefully, we don't have to live in confusion. We don't have to live in darkness. Because he's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through knowledge of him. Third reason, I know everyone will like this one. Quiet time is the key to a life of success. Not my words, words of the Bible. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, quiet time, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, I've seen a lot of promises in the Bible that talk about the importance of the Word of God. And I've seen a lot of promises that talk about all kinds of different rewards or things that God's going to give you. But this is the only promise in the Bible that promises success. This is the only one that promises, if you do this, you will have success. And what is this? Is meditating in the Word of God day and night. Some people think that quiet time is magic. Quiet time is hocus pocus. Quiet time is something that, you know, you just say like abracadabra, hocus pocus. You read a few words and revelations and lights come on. Quiet time is none of those things. Quiet time is like anything else which leads to success. Hard work. Can you expect to be successful in any area in life by snapping your fingers? You expect if you want success, you should put in the effort. Quiet time is effort. Quiet time is not easy. Quiet time oftentimes is labor. And quiet time is, you know, toil. But it leads to success and comfort and all that other kinds of good stuff that we want. You know what else it leads to? Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. Ask yourself how much joy you have in life. If the answer is you have little joy, then my response to you is you have little presence of God in your life. Because his presence equals fullness of joy. And his right hand equals pleasure forevermore. So if I ain't got enough joy in my life, I need to examine how much time I have in his presence in my life. The goal of quiet time is to sit at his feet, like I said, and just be there and do whatever it is that he tells me to do. What I'm going to tell you right now, okay, is some tips to starting a quiet time routine. Now that we understand how important it is, some tips to starting. But here's the thing. I'm stressing on the word start. I want to give you advice, but please, if you have a quiet time routine that's working for you, don't think that you have to change it, that there's a right way and a wrong... Well, there are wrong ways, okay? But there's not necessarily a right way. There's potentially many wrong ways. But what I'm saying is, the goal is to sit at the feet of Christ. And if you have a routine that's working for you, and you sit at his feet, and you're getting all these things, you don't gotta stick to a rigid formula. But what I'm talking about is the people who don't know where to start, don't know where to go, or looking for some freshness in their routine. Those are the people that I'm talking to. And like I said, hopefully it can be a benefit for you. Five easy things. Number one, like I said, it's quiet time, so you start by selecting a specific time. And I'm big on this one. I don't believe in the haphazardness of that when I have time. I don't know anyone who has time. Okay? Anyone who has hours and hours of free time that come up. If you do, let me know. We can solve that here in the church for you. Okay? So time is not just going to like pop up on itself and say, here, use me. If you want time, you must make time. So I believe the same thing with quiet time. You have to schedule it. It has to be an appointment in your thing that you come to this chair, because that's where you know God's going to be in this chair, so you come to this chair. And the same way, if you know you have an appointment with Abuna Anthony at a certain time, and you know Abuna Anthony's punctual, so you don't want to be late, you same thing with God. Okay? Be respectful of God's time. You would be annoyed if he made you wait. Okay? Be respectful of his time. Set a time and show up at the time. When? I'm biased. I think it should be morning. I'm not saying it has to be morning. I'm not saying you can't do quiet time at night. I'm not saying you can't do quiet time at lunch break. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying for me, and for most people, experience that I've seen, the best time is the morning time. Why? Number one, that's when Christ used to take his quiet time. So that's a good example. Number two, King David, who I would say right after Christ was the second guy there in terms of like good prayer and good quiet time. He did it in the morning as well. Psalm 5:3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Why morning time is the preferred time? First of all, logic. Okay? When is the best time to tune up an instrument? Before the show or after the show? When is the best time to warm up for the big game? Before the game or after the game? Most of the time, we need guidance, not for when we're sleeping, and God guide me how to sleep, or like, we need guidance for our day. And we need a message from God that's going to help me when I run into so-and-so and she's rude to me. Or when I run into this guy and he owes me money. Or when I get cut off on the beltway by this guy. I need the preparation. I need my sword for when the temptation is in front of me. Not for when I've gone through my day and I go to sleep. Come on, we don't remember anything from the night before. If you read something at night, you don't remember it in the day before. You need it to be fresh. So that's why the morning time is the best. Also, it's just like it's proven science or whatever it is, that your mind is less cluttered in the morning. Okay? That when you wake up, kiddah, your mind is fresh, it's empty, it hasn't been filled by all the nonsense. Another very practical reason for me is that in the morning there's less distractions. My phone rings a lot less in the morning. Okay? Especially if I can get up before the kids get up, the house is very quiet in the morning. Another advantage of doing it in the morning, again, this is just what works for me, but you don't have to be for you. But I'm a big fan of doing it outdoors. Like somehow, recently I've been in like an outdoor phase kind of a thing where you sit and the nature and the trees and the birds and all this kind of stuff. So for me, you know how hot I get, okay? I'm trying these days to get up really early because I can't be outside after 6 a.m., okay? Because after 6 a.m. it is unbearably hot outside. But you get up, kid, at 5, ain't no one outside. Still dark. Sun's starting to rise over Wegmans over there in the corner. Like, kid, like the world is at peace. You know the phone isn't going to ring. Like, sometimes, like on the days, like on Mondays I sleep in, so I wake up late. So let's say 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I do my quiet time. I can hear my phone even though I'm trying to keep it away. It could be an emergency. But at 5 in the morning, come on, man. You all are asleep. Everyone's asleep. No emergencies at 5 in the morning. Nothing's going to happen. You know what I mean? So it's a peacefulness. You may say, well, you're a morning person. Believe me, anyone who knows me knows I am not a morning person. Okay? I have trained myself to get up early, but I am not a morning person by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm a practical person. And I'm a person who cares about my quiet time. And recently, I discovered that practically, the best time for me is in the morning. Okay? If you are a high RPM kind of a person, okay? What I mean by that is, I notice myself, I'm a high RPM person, meaning that once my day gets going, start to build momentum, and I'm here, and I'm there, and I'm juggling this, and all that kind of stuff, and it's really hard to deflate, to go down to quiet time. But in the morning, you wake up, you're already at zero anyway. So it's the perfect time, kid. Once upon a time, there was a professor in like one of them time management classes that was telling his students a story. I told you the story before, maybe you remember it from a sermon. He wanted to show them about the importance of time management. So he brought out a big, like a container-looking thing, okay? And then he brought out these big rocks, and he started to put these big rocks in the container-looking thing until no more big rocks could fit in there. And he asked the students, is it full? Student said, yes, it's full. I said, okay. He bent down, picked up another bucket with smaller rocks, like gravel kind of rocks. He started to pour those in. And obviously, even though the bucket was full of big rocks, the little rocks like slid down in the nooks and crannies, and he filled it up with that. So he asked the crowd again, is the bucket full? They said, well, kind of knowing the professor, probably not. He said, very good. Put down that bucket, picked up a bucket of sand. Started to pour sand until there was no more sand that could go in. He looked at the crowd and said, is the bucket full? They said, absolutely not, sir. He said, okay, you're learning. Picked up a bucket of water, started to pour water in, and he filled it with water. Asked the class, what's the lesson learned here? One hotshot guy stood up in the front and says, the lesson is that you can always fit more into your schedule if you really try. There's always room for one more thing. Guy said, not exactly. The lesson is, make sure you put the big rocks in first. Put the big rocks in first. Because if you had waited to the end, the big rocks wouldn't have fit. Quiet time is a big rock. Put that in first. Make that in the very beginning of the day. Make sure that rock is in there. You don't want to get to 4 or 5 p.m. when there's sand, there's all kinds of water and little gravel and little rocks. You say, well, my big rock doesn't fit anymore. Fool, you should have put it in first. Because you could have probably fit the little rocks around it. How long should quiet time be? When I say select a specific time, there's no right answer right here. It has to be quality. But here's what I will say. Here's what I will say. For those who are just starting, don't know what in the world quiet time is, I would recommend to you not 6 hours. Okay? I would not even recommend an hour. I would recommend somewhere around the 15 to 20, maybe even 25, 30 minute mark. But I wouldn't even say more than 30 minutes. For those who are just starting. Okay? Why? Because I would rather do 20 minutes a day for a whole week as opposed to 3 hours on a Saturday. 20 hours a day is greater than 3 hours or even 5 hours on a Saturday. What I'm saying is the consistency is what I would want to get down first. So if this is all foreign to you, start even 15 minutes. I give it nothing under 15 minutes. But what I'm saying is start with manageable goals that you can attain and then build up from there. For the one who knows how to take quiet time for a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, there's not an excuse to go back. Like, you never want to go backwards. Okay? Because again, it's your relationship with God. So hopefully you're deepening your relationship with God. And I can't say, like, I used to spend an hour with my wife, now I only want to spend 20 minutes. Like, it should be going the opposite direction, that I'm spending more time with her as I get to know her better. But regardless of how much time, the focus should be on quality, not quantity. Okay? But choose a specific time. Second thing, choose a special place. And again, I'm a fan of choosing a specific place, not just wherever. Our Lord Jesus Christ had a specific place where he did his quiet time, Luke 22:39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, as was his habit. The disciples, why do you think it was that when Judas and the bad guys wanted to catch Christ, they didn't have any problem finding him? They knew where he'd be. He had two places that he went, the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. These were where he went. These were his prayer times. He had a special place that was associated with them. Why it's important to have a special, specific place, not just any random place? Because we are creatures of habit. And we're creatures of, like, senses. And we associate places with things. So if this place is where I watch stupid things on TV, and I listen to nonsense on my iPod, and I'm talking worthless conversations on my phone, then this place is associated with foolish things. I need an altar. I need a place where I don't wear my shoes. I need a place where spiritually I don't bring the garbage of the world into. I don't talk on the phone in this place. I don't watch TV in this place. This place is God's place. And this is a holy place. Put up a little cross, little pictures of saints. Put up icon. Put up whatever. Okay? Make it like a little altar. You know that when you come into church and you smell some incense, you all do the same thing. Automatically start like making something kind of something about We don't even know what we're doing. We're just making the sign of the cross for some reason. Because we associate places with things. And you know, in the church, you don't make loud noises. You don't say foolish things. You don't run up and down because it's the church. Make a little church in your house. Make like a little... I'm not saying you have to take like a whole floor. I'm saying make a little den, a little nook, a little something or other. This is like the prayer corner. Okay? Make it someplace that's kind of special for you. The most important factor with that place, be smart, choose a place that's quiet. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Again, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in this secret place. Make sure that the place you go is a quiet place, okay? And it's a place that you can shut the door. Make sure that it's a place where all these outside distractions aren't coming. I learned something about myself. It's hard for me to focus when I'm praying and when I'm reading the Bible. It's not a natural thing. Maybe you're different than me. But for me, it's easier to be distracted than it is to be focused. So I want to be smart, and I want to put myself in a situation with as little as possible distractions. Because I know it's an uphill battle already. So I might as well not make it any harder. So the idea of let's get together and do quiet time together, quiet time, special time, special place. You got to be creative on this one. Like I said, me, recently I discovered the benefits of doing it outside. And to me, outside is the best, and I love to do it outside. Maybe you're not an outside person. Maybe to you, the gnats or whatever will annoy you more than anything else. Or maybe you have an annoying neighbor who plays loud music. So you got to be creative. But try to, if it doesn't work, try a new place, something like that, a park, a something. Who knows? Be creative. Step number 3. Gather your resources. What I mean by this is, you need 3 items to do a successful quiet time. At least 3, okay? Potentially more. You need a Bible, you need a pen, and you need a journal. Okay? Agbeya is also very, very good. Okay? And that's something that is very beneficial as well, but you can get most of the Agbeya in the Bible, so if you're like minimizing resources, then at least you got your Bible. Make sure when you get a Bible, don't overlook which Bible you choose. Maybe you're not OCD like me, but in case you are, the Bible that I have, I'm very specific about. Okay? And I can't just take any old Bible into quiet time. I could never take your Bible into quiet time. I need my Bible. Some people have those cutesy little, like, small little mini Bibles. Those are the ones that, like, fit in your pocket and they have everything in there, and you need, like, a magnifying lens to be able to read it. Don't use that for your quiet time Bible. Okay? Make it easy for yourself. Make it enjoyable for yourself. Another thing I don't like is the Bible with all the commentary inside. Again, this is me, just my opinion. Don't let the guy... When I read a Bible with commentary, I immediately look at what the guy says, and I assume that's what it means for me. And I don't give God a chance to give me a personal message. So I can read the same passage 10 times and get the same message. Why? Because it's what the commentary guy wrote as his message. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a study Bible. You have a study Bible. But your quiet time Bible should be more plain. So you let God, and you struggle with it more, and you push yourself to like, it's like taking the training wheels off. Push yourself to try to ride that bike by itself. Okay, then you have a pen with you, and use that pen to write inside your journal. Why you need a journal? Because when God tells you something, you write it down. Because most likely it's important. When God speaks, you write it down. Numbers chapter 33, verse 2. God commanded this to Moses. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. God commanded Moses, you write down every step along this journey. Why? Why that's so important? Number one, it shows you progress. Okay, so that Moses could see, in case Moses gets down and says, God, you don't do nothing for us. He says, excuse me, go look at your journal. You started off as a slave in Egypt, and your life stunk. Oh yeah. And then you were at the Red Sea, and you had no place to go, and I parted the Red Sea. Oh yeah, good call. Write down this stuff so you can remind yourself. And I'm telling you, me, there's times where I get myself down, or I get down on myself. And I always go, there's 3 journals in my life that I can always go to, and always pick me up. One was my first trip to Africa, 1998 in the summer, where I really, really experienced God in a whole new way. I go back to that journal, and I'm like, who is the guy writing this stuff? Because this is gold! Okay, some of his meditations are gold. They should be published sometime, okay? My memoirs or something like that. I don't know who that person is, but that person was really close to God, and God spoke to that person. I know I can be that person. Number two, with the emotional people, when me and Marianne got together and how God brought us together and that kind of, all that kinds of stuff, you know, it was nice. Then the third one was when I was ordained as a priest in my 40 days in the monastery, that journal. Those three, all my other journals, who knows where they are? Only God knows. Those three, I'm very careful about because sometimes I get down and I need those journals. Some people don't know what a journal is. A journal is not a diary. Okay? Not encouraging diaries. And I don't like it when people use their journal. It's actually when we go to Africa, and Babulus always makes fun of the people who sit there and write the whole time in their quiet time. Okay? And he says that they're writing in their diary, writing their biographies or something like that to be published. Diary is recording what happened. Today I went to the store, and I met a nice boy, and he smiled at me, and then I smiled at him, and I prayed so hard that that's a diary. That's nonsense. A diary records what happens. A journal records the lessons that God is teaching you through what happens. Okay? Big difference between the two. What you need to record is the lessons, the messages, the insight that God is giving to you. Who cares what you did? What matters is what you learned from what you did. The other reason why it's important to have a journal is a lot of times I can read my Bible, get a message, and forget it by lunchtime. So when I write it down, I can go back later in the day and check out what it was. I can go the next day and review it. Even if nothing else, there's something to be said for when you write something down, you will remember it a lot better than if you don't write it down, even if you never read it again. So I'm a big fan of journaling. Okay, so I chose a time, I chose a place, I gathered my resources, and then I jump into quiet time? No. Step four is what I do next. The next important thing, I must begin with the right attitude. How you go into quiet time will determine how you end up coming out of quiet time. Specifically, three attitudes that you need to have, and I'll just run through them kind of quickly. Number one is reverence. You go to the Word of God with a spirit of reverence. Again, you don't rush in and rush out. God is not, like quiet time is not a TV show that where you're just kind of flipping around and you jump in and jump out. Quiet time, you go in quietly and with reverence. The greatest, you know, kind of go with me on this one. Quiet time of all time. Okay, when God really spoke and revealed himself, I would say St. John the Beloved, when he had the revelation, which is written in the book of Revelation. That was, you know, like a model of what we can hope one day to have a quiet time where Christ appears to us and gives us all this kind of good stuff. How did it begin? Chapter 1, verse 17 of the book. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. The greatest revelation in the history of all mankind began with the utmost of reverence. Okay? I fell down at his feet as one dead. We need to do the same thing. Don't run in. And run out of quiet time. Take your time, go slowly, go reverently, same way you would approach the body and blood of Christ on the altar. Second attitude, go in with an attitude of expectancy, okay? Or like hoping, or like, I love Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, let it be to you. I want to know one question, answer to one question. What do you expect out of your quiet time in the morning? If you expect nothing, you will get it every single time. Every single time. There's a story one time about Charles Spurgeon. Maybe you've heard of him. He was a great preacher. Spoke back in England in like the, I don't know, 1500s, 1400s, 16, I don't know, somewhere. Long time ago. And there was a young, and he used to like preach to like thousands and thousands and thousands, okay? And people like came from all over to hear this guy speak, and they would change their lives and they would weep and repent and all this kind of stuff when he spoke. And one young preacher came to him and asked him for some advice. He said, how is it that every time you speak, people change their lives? And when I speak, it's not every time. So Spurgeon looked at the guy and said, you don't really expect that every time you speak that someone would change their life, do you? You don't expect every time that, do you? And I said, no, I don't expect every time. He said, okay, that's why. According to your faith, let it be to you. Easy. Same thing in quiet time. You don't expect that God to speak to you every day, do you? Some of us know. Okay, he won't. As you like. According to your faith, let it be to you. Easy. What do you expect when you go to this chair? You expect Jesus to be in the chair next to you? You expect him to speak? You expect to get a message? Or you expect to just kind of come and go as you came? You know why expecting is so important? Because you know what? If I came here, let's say I came here and I know there's going to be coffee. I'm expecting a cup of coffee. Boy, I am not leaving here till I get my coffee. I came expecting a coffee. I didn't drink coffee all day. I came here and I ain't leaving till I get my coffee. That's why we need to be with our quiet time. I expect a message and I ain't leaving till I get it. If you don't expect it, you come, glance, no coffee, no message. Okay, I gave it a shot. Expect it, and according to your faith, let it be to you. Third attitude, obedience. John 13, verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Very simple. You must be willing, before you go into quiet time, that whatever God tells you, obey. If he tells you that you need to apologize, if he tells you that you are a proud fool, if he tells you that you have a big problem with your ego, you need to be ready to fix it. And if you're not, you will never get anything out of quiet time. The one who goes into quiet time, saying, God, speak to me about any of these 99.99% of things in life, but don't talk about this, will never hear a word from God. Ever. Never. Because that's not how God speaks. The goal of quiet time is not knowledge. The goal of quiet time is a changed life. And I mean that every single day. Every single day, my life should be changed because of quiet time. The fifth step, and the last one, which, to be honest, time is important, place is important, resources are important, attitude is important. You may think that the fifth one is the most important, which is follow a simple plan. But it's not the most important. It's actually the least important. Follow a simple plan means now you need to do something. Okay, now you need to know what you're going to read, or know, like, you know, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to pray first and then read, or read then pray? Like, you need a plan. We think this is the most important thing, but I got to be honest with you, this is the least important thing. Because you know why? The number one factor, click, that determines the quality of your quiet time, click, is your desire. And your desire is proven by the first four, not by the last one. The last one's important. Yeah, you need a plan. You need a page in the Bible to read. Okay, and you need to know, you know, what you're going to do. But what you need much more than that is the desire. And the desire is shown in those other things. What I'm saying in another way is that, like I said, the Word of God is not a thing, it's a person. And the goal is to have a relationship with that person. What determines the depth of my relationship with my wife? Where we go? The time that we choose to go out on a date? The topics that we select, or the activities that we do when we're out together? What determines it is my desire. And if I have the desire, it doesn't matter if I'm doing it at 6 in the morning or 5 at night. It doesn't matter. If I have the desire to make him and me intimate together, that's the most important factor. At the back table there's some handouts that you can grab, like resources for quiet time. And there's one there that we put together when we did this theme about, like, how you can do quiet time. And, like, I think it's called the 20-minute plan. And it tells you, like, how to start and when to pray and read and all that kind of stuff. Also, we have the quiet time, the schedule of readings that the majority of us use. These are very good tools, and I encourage you to take them. But please, don't think that success is in the tool. Success is in the heart. And success is in the desire. And your desire will overcome all the tools. People did quiet time for thousands and thousands of years before they had this quiet time guide right here. Don't think all the answers in that quiet time guide. Don't think you just pick it up and boom, all of a sudden. Like, people did it many times before they had these little pamphlets. Because they had a desire. And that's what I want you to have as well. Like I said, there's no right way to do quiet time. There most certainly are many wrong ways to do it. But the right way, the most right way, is having the most amount of desire. A couple verses here to show you that desire. Psalm 63, verse 1. King David had the desire. And that's why it led him to say this. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. I like when he says early. Like first thing in the morning, as soon as I can open my eyes, I'm going to try to find you. See that you can see the desire inside. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I want to make these words my own words. Next one, Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Not when you use the quiet time guide, not when you do it outside, but when you search me with all your heart, you will find me. Like I said in the beginning, quiet time is not easy. Quiet time is not a walk in the park, as many times we think it is. Quiet time is a lot of time getting up when you don't want to get up. It's pushing yourself to read it a 15th time because the first 14 times you didn't understand nothing out of it. Quiet time, a lot of times, means I have to change my life because of it. Quiet time isn't easy, but it most certainly is worth the effort. Remember the verse I showed you in the beginning, Luke 10:42. When Martha was doing all this stuff for Christ, Mary sat at his feet, and he tells Martha, look here, Martha, I only need one thing. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her, which will not be taken away from her. Long after this story was taking place, long after the meal that Martha served was finished, long after the day was done, Mary had something. Mary walked away with something. They all ate food. The food came and went out the other end. Food was gone. But Mary got something that will never be taken away from her, because she sat at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same with us. I hope we can have a new attitude towards our quiet time and see it as the one thing that is needed. Can you get up in the morning and say that the one thing I need today is to sit at the feet of Jesus? You got to make a distinction between two things in life. William Choi taught me this a long time ago, and it's so true. The difference between the things that are urgent and the things that are important. The things that are urgent are the fires that need to be put out. There's 10,000 of those. But you know what? The things that are important will never be urgent. Things that are urgent are, like I said, the phone calls I got to make, the disaster that happened, this and that. What's important? Spending time with my kids is important. Spending time with my wife is important. In the ministry, I can see this very, very clearly. Okay, important versus urgent. There's two guys actually, that I keep in touch with who are in prison. Okay? Good guys, great guys I should say, people who I consider role models for me, and they inspire me more than a lot of other people inspire me. And I keep in touch with them with letters, but the thing is, I'm not good at writing letters, and writing letters is never urgent. What's urgent is to call you back because you said, call me back today, Abuna, or I'm never going to come to church again. Or someone said, there's a disaster in my family, I need you to come over right away. Those things are urgent. But you know what's really important? When I spend the 20 minutes to write to that guy. Because that guy is in prison by himself and I don't have anyone to encourage him. And God always like I always remember this urgent versus important when I think of that. Because what's important will 9 times out of 10 never be urgent. And if it is urgent, you've really messed things up. You've really messed things up if it's gotten to that point of urgency. You got to learn to distinguish. Urgent things will come up all the time. But you know what? You got to make time for the important. And quiet time is the important. If the big rock that you need in your day, because it's how you grow in depth in your relationship with Almighty God. If the goal of our life, you remember last week I showed you I read you that letter. The goal of our life is to have that marriage, that heavenly wedding with our Savior. You know what quiet time is? How you should approach quiet time? As a date with Jesus. That's what quiet time is. It's a date. If the goal is to get married and the goal is that wedding, quiet time is the time that you spend. You're not just going to show up on a wedding day, say, hi, my name is so-and-so, let's get married. It ain't going to be a good marriage unless you have the date time right now. You know why you should look at it as a date? Because that's how he looks at it with you. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. You know what I think of this verse? Every night as I go to sleep, and I set my alarm for the following morning. I imagine Christ telling me this verse, maybe modified in a little bit. Behold, I stand at the alarm clock, and I ring. He who gets up, he who doesn't just snooze, he who turns off the alarm, gets up, washes his face, brushes his teeth, and comes outside to meet me. Him, I will dine with him and give him something really special. You got to be very careful that you don't end up like Martha. Because I promise you, the world is full of urgent things, full of busy things that will crowd out what is important. But the end of it all, there's one thing that's needed. Okay? And that important thing is to spend time at the feet of Christ. It's not going to happen by accident. Mary had to make a decision that I will not serve the food, I will sit at the feet of Jesus. She had to make that decision. She didn't just say, it didn't just happen. She made a conscious decision that even if my sister looks at me and gives me one of these, and even my sister's going to beat me down later on today, I am going to sit at his feet today. Finish. Easy. She made that decision. We need to make that same decision. Because what's waiting for you in quiet time is not just words on a piece of paper. It's God incarnate logos. God in the flesh. Not even in the flesh. God in the flesh, in an easier to recognize, becomes in letters and numbers. Okay? In the most simplest and basic way that we can accept him as words on a piece of paper. But never ever be fooled into thinking that it's anything less than the Son of God himself, the Word of God, and he's coming to give you that depth in the relationship. Okay? Let's stand for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, how can we thank you enough? Lord, words can't express how humbled and shamed we are when we see your great desire to know us, to be intimate with us, to deepen your relationship with us. We know, dear Lord, that you go all over the place and will run around in circles just to spend time with us, just in the hope to spend a few minutes deep in your relationship with us. Lord, we're ashamed because we realize that we don't give you the same. But really, we hope that we can take a big step in our spiritual lives this day, that we can make a commitment that no matter what happens, even if the world is on fire, the day doesn't end until we spend that time with you. Lord, you're the big rock. And you're the most important thing. And even though you're never going to yell at us or burn us or you're never going to be that urgent thing which is always in our face, but we know that you are the most important thing. Help us, dear Lord, to open your word and grow deeper. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. Give us power. Give us victory. Give us life through your word. Give us a renewed desire to get closer to you and to deepen our relationship with you. Bless our gathering here. Bless our church. Bless every single person who's on this path. And take them, dear Lord, where it is you want to show them that next aspect in their relationship with you. Through our Lord, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, St. Peter, and St. Paul, and all of your saints, hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.